Hello and welcome to another edition of the MLB Whip Around. We are back after spring break. Baseball is in full swing and we are ready for a great episode. So we are here. MLB Whip Around is back. We are ready for another great edition today. Baseball, like I said, full swing. It is really spectacular right now, the way the season has started. It's been a season of ups and downs for a lot of players and teams, and a lot of things are going the way that we expected, but a lot of things are also not. So we started off today. We got a lot of MLB news. Ben Dixon not able to be with us today, so Doug is here. He would be here anyway, but it's just me and Doug today.
Yeah, I'm excited for a great show. It's been a little bit of a layoff for us. We had a nice break. We're refreshed, and we're ready to go for the end of the year. A little stretch here, so let's get going.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Not a ton of MLB news that's happened in the last week. We don't have any highlights from the last week because it would have been from the last 2 weeks, and really none of that stuff has been really that important. Nothing has been really special either. So we have two bits of news here. We're starting off with Nathan Eovaldi of the Red Sox, a killer injury for them, even though he wasn't really producing. He's out for 2 months. He's now received surgery on his elbow. That's a bit of a difficult loss for them. They were really banking on him doing well, and he really hasn't anyway.
Yeah, it's going to be tough for the Boston Red Sox, who have gotten off to a really atrocious start after their World Series win last year. They're just not playing good baseball, and a loss of Nathan Eovaldi in their rotation is going to be hard for them to come back. He was supposed to be a top of their rotation guy, had a great postseason last year, already had Tommy John surgery with the Yankees. That's why they didn't re-sign him a couple of years ago. Then he went and continued his career and kind of reinvented himself in that playoff series last year. But it's going to be tough. He's out 2 months, as you said. He's receiving that surgery on his elbow, and everything with his elbow, that's really the key with Nathan Eovaldi. So hopefully he gets healthy, or maybe he doesn't. As a Yankee fan,
yeah.
You don't want him pitching it against you, but you never want to wish anyone any injuries or anything like that. But hopefully he comes back, and that elbow is always cautious with Eovaldi.
Yeah, I mean, that elbow's, it's got to be cautious for every pitcher. I mean, you hear about elbow injury, you're already worrying about Tommy John.
Brutal.
Because you know that that's it can kill a player for their career. It can really end their career.
Totally.
But Eovaldi, it's turning out so far, like the beginning of the season has showed that postseason may have been a fluke. But there are some players who just do a lot better under pressure, and with the Red Sox just not performing, it's just not a really great atmosphere in that clubhouse right now. But the next thing that was really the highlight of the week, last week everybody was talking about it, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. coming up, making his Major League debut with the Blue Jays on Friday. It was a spectacular day. Vlad Sr. was there, and I mean, it was just all around. That was the hype of the week in baseball last week.
Yeah, he's going to be enemy number one against the New York Yankees for years to come. He's a legitimate player, going to be a perennial all-star for years to come, just an outstanding hitter. Obviously, a little bit more heavy set over at third base. He'll find his spot, and he just brings life to the game. You know, everybody was talking about this call-up. They've been talking about him for years, probably the number one prospect in the MLB. Getting a call to the show, and we knew that the Blue Jays were kind of holding him out of a major league appearance, didn't really want to give him the call up, but he got his chance, and he's probably there to stay. Another guy on the Blue Jays, Brandon Drury, ex-New York Yankee, big home run last night, just wanted to shout that out, 3-run homer. I think in extra innings, they were down by 3-4-1,
really?
And then in the bottom of the inning, he had a 3-run tying home
run. Wow, and he
hit
the 2-run homer the other day with that drove in Guerrero Jr.
I believe they won that game, so good to see Brandon Drury doing well. There just wasn't a lot of room on the Yankee roster last year, as we know. All the moves were made.
Right.
We could use him now, definitely, with all the injuries. Another two injuries to talk about for the Yankees. DJ LeMahieu had a problem yesterday, and Gio Urshela, our new number four
really?
Hitter.
Really? He's getting hurt, too?
Our new number four hitter got hit in the hand, and you could hear it.
Welcome to the Mets boat.
If you look at the replay, it just sounds like right off the bone. Brutal. But both
for me, hit by the hands is normal this year. We've had like 15.
Both x-rays came back negative, so hopefully they're in the lineup sooner or later.
Yeah, that's too bad. But one little really cool and interesting thing I heard on MLB Central. They said that Vladimir Guerrero Jr., they rate prospects out of 80, and they said that Mike Trout's hitting was 70 and Bryce Harper was 65 out of 80. They rated Vladimir Guerrero Jr. 80 out of 80.
No way.
Yes, they did. They said it on MLB Central. They said that never happens, and they gave him an 80 out of 80. They said it was unprecedented, and if he lives up to that, he's going to be one of the best hitters in baseball history.
I mean, he's got the make for it. You just see his swing. It's so smooth. Yeah. Looks like his father, honestly.
He really does.
So it's
they showed a parallel. They showed back to back. They're like almost identical, most of their swing.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be pretty amazing to see what he does. And it's going to be exciting just as a fan of the MLB. It's going to be great for the future. But we'll move on here with our hitter of the week. And Mike, I don't know if you have this guy, but he's at the top of everyone's chart. I think I had him a couple weeks ago. Cody Bellinger. He is destroying the major leagues right now. Hitting .427. He's got 14 home runs. That leads the league. He's got 36.
Actually, it's tied with Yelich.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But Yelich now went out with that injury against your Mets yesterday.
Yes, I was there.
So Bellinger could take the lead there. So, as I said, he leads the league in batting average, in home runs, in RBIs with 36. He has two more than Yelich. He's got a .500 on-base percentage. That means he's on base half the time.
Yeah, that's really crazy.
I mean, come on with that. It's just outstanding to see what he's done. He's another one of those young players who has the chance to really blossom. You know, we've seen little instances of him being a great player, and the Dodgers really have a good one in Cody Bellinger.
Yeah, I mean, 2017 broke the home run record for rookies, and then last year was an off season for him, but everyone talks about that sophomore slump. You know, your sophomore season in the big leagues, a lot of people just tend to not do well. I mean, I'm thinking about it for the Mets. Jeff McNeil's doing the opposite. He's doing better this year than last, but, I mean, overall, Cody Bellinger, I mean, last year, people were worried about him. They said his swing's breaking down a lot. He's really just not hitting at all. And he hasn't. The one thing that was consistent is he hasn't hit in the postseason at all in his career. But, I mean, overall, this guy he's coming out and he is killing the baseball. I mean, the balls are afraid when they see Cody Bellinger. So, I mean, it's really nuts. For me, my hitter of the week, Jose Abreu, in the last 7 days, he's batted .571 with two home runs and 12 RBIs. So, Jose Abreu, I thought you were going to go Luke Voit because Luke Voit's...
Well, I mean, Luke Voit's been on a tear. He's been on base.
I would have picked him, but I figured you would.
Yeah, I mean, his hitting streak actually was broken, I believe, 2 games ago, but he started a new one. I believe he went 3-for-4. Yesterday or the day before that. He just something, I think it was yesterday. So Luke Voit just continuing to mash the ball. He's just seeing it great out of the pitcher's hand. He's been on base 30-plus games in a row. The streak is getting up there. And he's been probably the mainstay in that lineup. With all the injuries, he's up batting second now. Where Judge would be. But what a surprise. I mean, an outstanding job by Cashman and the Yankees front office to find this talent, the scouting done on Luke Voit in the minor leagues, giving up Chasen Shreve, who a lot of people were concerned about, even though Chasen Shreve, not a great reliever, but a lefty specialist, sidearm motion, could have been solid. And when we first saw the trade, a lot of Yankee fans were just confused. Who is this guy? It made sense with Greg Bird not even being a factor last year. So Yankees looking for first base help. And Voit was exactly what the Yankees needed last year. And he's panning out to not just be a bust from last year into this year, or just like a one-hit wonder or something like that. He's the real deal. And he's improved his defense as well. So that's a nice thing to see.
Yeah, and when he came up, I remember he was on the Cardinals. And I don't remember if his first series was against the Mets or if it was one of his first few. But it may have actually been his MLB debut against the Mets. And I remember when he came up to the plate, the announcers were just constantly saying how hard he hits the ball and how he puts bat to ball really well. And he's a big time power hitter. And it's nice to see him do well. And when he played against the Mets, he seemed like a hit or miss kind of guy, where he's either going to get a lot of home runs or he's not going to really do well at all. But it's nice to see him performing. Then move on to the pitcher of the week this week. I've got Chris Bassitt of the Oakland Athletics. He had a .75 ERA in 12 innings with 16 strikeouts in the last week. He's clearly been a really good pitcher for those Athletics. You got to like that out of a guy like him. I mean, really kind of an under-the-radar team. And anybody on the Athletics really is under the radar if they do well. So it's cool for him. Just nice to get a little bit of recognition.
Yeah, so I don't have really a pitcher of the week that I've really liked too much. But I'm going to go with Domingo Germán. His last start was okay, gave up 4 runs. But this season, he leads the MLB in wins with 5. And he has a .157 batting average against this year. So this is a guy who was brought up last year, sort of a throw-in in a trade a couple of years ago, maybe a guy that was developing, could potentially be good, showed some sparks last year, coming up this year, obviously with the injuries in the rotation to Severino. Sabathia was out with that suspension early on and that injury as well. So Domingo Germán has been outstanding to start. Really happy for this guy. The walks have been an issue for him. His first start, he was atrocious with the walks. And he's really cleaned that up in the last few starts. And as you saw, .57 batting average against. That's a huge stat for pitchers. And for a guy who the Yankees are looking to develop and keep working, his stuff is nasty. He just has to work on that control. And that's what he's been doing, obviously, with the walk totals being down as of late.
Yeah, that's a really good thing. I mean, I remember you guys were talking about him a lot before the season, saying, well, the rotation is going to be a question, and Domingo Germán coming up, you got to count on him a lot, and he seems to be doing really good.
Yeah, I mean, I'm also throwing out a lot of Yankees right now. I was talking about a lot of Yankee news. I mean, I watch pretty much every game. My phone's just not cooperating right now, so I'm trying to get the numbers, but not working, so I'm pretty much just going off of what I know. So this is the Douglas What Do You Know in Your Brain show right now, so hopefully you guys are enjoying.
I mean, you're doing a good enough job.
Thank you, sir.
Then we move on to the team of the week. For me, my team of the week, really no question, it's got to be the Yankees. They've just been on a tear. I mean, I didn't even realize that they were doing this well. They've been on a silent tear right now, because I looked at the – I saw a guy on Instagram who, like, commented on something that I said on Reese Hoskins' page, and they responded saying, yeah, where are the Mets right now? And I was like, all right, well, the Yankees, I last checked, are like in last. And then I looked, I was like, oh, they're 14-10 and in second place. I didn't realize that. So that was really strange for me to just kind of look and be like, oh, never mind, they're actually doing really good. But because I haven't really spoken to, like, Ben or you in the last week, I don't really know, because it's normally when we're here, Ben and I talk about
totally.
It. So I didn't really know. I had no idea. So it's kind of good for them. They're coming out and really they're killing it right now. They figured it out with the fact that they're doing this with a depleted team, a really depleted team, makes me scared for when they have a full team.
Yeah, I mean, it could be dangerous. I'm just looking at some teams here at the top of their division, and the Cardinals at 17-10, they've won 8-2 in their last 10 games. So this is the team in the Cardinals who we know can be great. They have a great history. I don't know if they didn't really get much hype this offseason. Weren't really a team that a lot of people put at the top of the division.
I actually did. I had them I had them going to the World Series before
the
game started.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, I know that they've
got... Let me go look at that.
They have Ozuna over there. Obviously, Yadier Molina. They have...
No, I had Dodgers-Yankees World Series.
You did? Okay. So, the Cardinals in this division, which is pretty stacked at least with the Cardinals, Cubs, and Brewers, you would have expected the Cubs and the Brewers to be battling for the top of that division.
Yeah,
but
I did.
The Cardinals, the Cardinals, a team that were kind of in a rebuild last year, trying to figure some things out, I guess, maybe on the fringe of being a playoff team, have really figured it out this year. And are at the top. Obviously, early, as I keep saying, on and on in this MLB whip around, these early shows in the season. Once you get into the dog days of the summer, now we're talking real baseball. Who can go on a stretch when you're playing every day in the hot sun and you're going to work?
And the ball's flying off the bat.
Exactly. You got major injuries. You've got trade deadline acquisitions. You don't know if your team is going in all in for the postseason or if they're pretty much just dumping it to a dumpster fire. You know, you have no idea what teams are doing. Another team, the Tampa Bay Rays. That was a team last year, had a pretty solid season, I believe 90 wins. Did not make the playoffs, but was a team that a lot of people thought were in a rebuild as well. Figured it out.
They technically are. Doing well.
I mean, they had a lot of really good signings in the offseason. If you look back at a couple of our MLB whip-arounds, I really like the Avisail Garcia signing in the outfield. He's been solid for them. But they're at 18-9. They have won 5-5 in their last 10, which is not great. Yankees 9-1 in that last 10. But they do lead the division with a 6.67 winning percentage, which is pretty outstanding for them. And the Twins, another team. This is an interesting division. Obviously, you have the Tigers, White Sox, and Royals all not really in contention for the playoffs. Trying to figure some things out, I guess, with their organization. But the Indians have been in the playoff in the postseason conversation for the last couple of years.
They're falling
and
off a
little. This offseason, you could tell that things just weren't right with their team. They lost a lot of pieces. We're trying to make some trades, move some things around. And right now at 15-12, they're two games back. They're 5-5 in their last 10. They are in second place behind the Twins, who are surprisingly playing pretty well.
I'm not surprised. I did have them doing pretty well this year. Yeah. I had them going to the wild card game. They have a lot of great pieces. I mean, they're really underrated. You've got guys like Jorge Polanco is playing out of his mind. Yep. Cruz has been doing pretty well. I thought
Cruz was a great signing, too.
Yeah, he was. I mean, same with Jonathan Scope, a very under-the-radar signing. Hasn't played out very well for them yet, but, I mean, that the AL Central, we all know, is the worst division in baseball. And the good thing for the Mets is the NL East is playing the NL Central, the AL Central this year. So the Mets can really bank off of winning some of those games. I mean, they already played the Twins. They lost 2 out of 3 there. But we haven't played any of the other 4 teams, and, I mean, they're pretty bad other than the Indians. So, hopefully, I mean, those NL East teams really have to feast off of those AL Central teams if they want to be able to do well this year in that really tight division.
Yeah, I mean, we would be also doing a disservice to the Mariners if we didn't talk about how well they've done. That's another team that nobody expected to be at the top of the division.
They were supposed to be the bottom.
Exactly. They were expected to be in the bottom third of that division, a team that is banking on some younger talent right now. They made a couple trades in the offseason. They got rid of Gene Segura. I mean, there's just a lot of things that Robbie Cano
Edwin Diaz,
exactly. So those are three players we just said that are off the roster. Nelson
Ben
Cruz
Gamble.
As well.
Yeah, right. Ben Gamble, too.
I just saw Ben Gamble actually.
Mike Zunino.
Made a great catch yesterday.
Yeah, against the Mets. That was saved the run.
I mean, that's 5 or 6 players that were in their starting lineup every day.
Yeah.
They are 18-3. They're
and they lost. Didn't they have Yonder Alonso too, or was that the Indians? I don't remember. Either way,
they actually made a trade. I don't know what it was.
I believe Yonder was on that team at some point.
Possibly.
They got rid of Encarnacion.
Correct.
Or wait, no, they got him back. They got Encarnacion to add him. Added Jay Bruce as well. I'm thinking of.
So they added some players, but they lost a big chunk of their starting lineup from last year, and they sit at 18-3, a half game back of the Astros, who we expect to be at the top of the AL, not even just their division, at the top of the AL. But both teams went 5-5 in the last 10. So that division's up for grabs. There's some teams fiddling around the 500 mark as well. But we pretty much know who's looking good, who's not in the first 30 or so games.
Yeah.
So you have a pretty good read. There's always a team that somehow, I don't know, develop some kind of chemistry,
right,
sort of
through
middle of the season, and they go on a run that you didn't expect. A team that you thought would be in the bottom half of the league,
or maybe just like a wild card.
Is that
team.
A 500 mark? Are you going for it, or are you selling away? So the trade deadline should be busy this year.
Yeah, very.
A lot of teams, especially the Yankees, really depleted their whole roster. I mean, if I read you the lineup, you wouldn't know half of these guys.
Yeah.
And it's not that you don't know Major League Baseball.
No, I barely even know.
You don't even know these guys. They're all from the minor league system. It's just been a play and plug. It's just another injury and just find the next guy going. And it's a lot of credit to the Yankees front office, especially Brian Cashman, who's been able to somehow figure out a way to win games. Boone deserves some credit, although you know I'm not a big Boone fan. I think he still makes a lot of mistakes that I wouldn't make. Not that I wouldn't make. You never know when you're in the game.
Right.
When you're actually there. And besides,
it's easy to sit back.
When you're watching on your couch, you're like, what are you doing? You know, we don't have the numbers. We don't have the stats or anything. But there's always decisions that I second guess. That Boone makes, but he deserves credit. I mean, this team, obviously the competition that we're playing is not great, but you got to win those games. We're probably at the same level as those teams right now. So the fact that we can beat those teams now, replenish our roster, get these big guys back in the lineup, and by the end of the season, hopefully by the middle of June towards July, we're healthy and we're getting going. Maybe get or add a starting pitcher. No idea. We'll see what happens there. But I mean, the Mets were so hot. I don't understand.
Well,
maybe it's Peter Alonso has not slowed down though.
No, not at all. I mean, the pitching's been a problem. I mean, the pitching was supposed to be the strong suit, and I mean, DeGrom's been bad. Syndergaard's been bad. Vargas has been doing better, but Mats and Wheeler have been the best pitchers in our rotation this
which
year.
Nobody expected.
Not at all. I mean, DeGrom has a 5 ERA. He's been, I mean, it's scary to say that Jacob DeGrom has been awful. I mean, so has Syndergaard. They've both been really struggling.
Well, how many weeks has he been awful? Because he had spectacular.
His first two starts
on.
Of the season were the best starts he's had in a while, but these last three games he's pitched, he's given up at least 5 runs in each, which for Jacob DeGrom is not good. He's got his ERA went from 0 to 5 in a matter of 3 starts after having 2 really good starts with a 0 ERA at the beginning of the season. So that just goes to show you. I mean, he said after the game he was interviewed, he said, "I stunk." He said, I'm really just terrible right now, and I don't know how to pitch. Noah Syndergaard said that his slider feels like he's throwing an ice cube because he can't feel the ball. So he said that's 2 stellar pitchers that are really having problems.
Well, I mean, those are 2 aces in your rotation right there who you expect to be better. Mm-hmm. They will be better.
Yeah, they will, hopefully.
It's Noah Syndergaard and Jacob DeGrom here that we're talking about,
right.
And you know that they're going to be one of the best pitchers in the MLB. Both of these guys will be at the top in the league with numbers by the end of the year. You know it will happen. It's just a small speed bump right now. And the Champs of April thing that
it's not really applicable at this point.
Champs of April line that Ben and I always refer to, 14 and 13, you had a great start though, but
yeah.
As of late, it's been a tough road, and the injury bug hasn't really
not at all
bit you at all. It's
nobody's been on the DL except for Jacob DeGrom, which is actually really impressive. That's like a best in years.
So is Callaway on the hot seat?
I don't think so. I think Brody really likes him. But one more thing before we go, because we're running out of time here. Just the NL East has been really as not good, but as close as we expected. I mean, the team in fourth place is 3 games within first. I think if you're looking for trade deadline things to think of now, the NL East is going to be making big splashes from first to fourth because all 4 of these teams are in it. The Nationals they don't really look that good. I don't think they're going to be in it for much longer. But between the Phillies, Mets, and Braves, I think we're going to be seeing some real superstars coming in the NL East. And what I also thought about is because these teams are so good and we're knocking each other down, the team that comes in second in the NL East, no matter how strong they are, they're not going to be in the wild card game. Because if you look, the Mets are in second place. They have a lower winning percentage than about 5 teams in other divisions. So they're not going to be – the second place team isn't going to be in the wild card. So they have to win the division.
Well, I mean, it is about 30 games into the season, as we said. Very early, tough to tell who's going to be in the playoffs right now. I mean, you could have looked at the beginning of the year of the NBA or the NHL and been like, look at these teams. These teams will definitely be in, and then some fall off, some shoot forward. You never know. So this NL East could be sort of the same situation as last year with the AL East, with the Yankees and the Red Sox, or the second place team, a wild card team, finishes ahead of the pack. You know, ahead of the other division leaders, where that wild card game will be between a team from the NL East who is dramatically better than the wild card team of from another division.
They may
deserve
it
more. It could be all 3 teams. 2 teams from the NL East getting that wild card. You have no idea. It's very early, but it's going to be an exciting rest of the year with the MLB whip around. We are thrilled to be back with this episode, and there's a lot more coming in the next Mondays to follow. So we're excited for that.
Yeah, definitely been a great start to the season. Another great episode today. We don't have Ben here, so, I mean, we can thank people. Doug, you know it a lot better than me.
I can do it. So we're going to thank Mr. Ashuti, Mr. Doxy, the administration. We're also going to thank the class of 2016 for their generous donation, which helped us with all of our broadcast equipment and our setup. So I'm Doug Latuca with Mike Garafa. Ben, we miss you. Hope you guys enjoyed today's show, and we will see you next week.